A few years later, he ends up at WLS, you know, working at the station. And there was a few leftover employees who had also worked with that short, obnoxious guy there at LS. And when he walked into the building, they were standing in a row and they applauded him. They stood up and they applauded him.
I believe it.
And it actually made me love John even more than I do now, which is a lot.
Yeah, he's fun, and he also played for us. He brought his band with us, so I mean
Right. He's been a big part of the Boars and Bernstein show for years. And
yes, he has.
I love the reference he gave about the meeting we were all at, and there was all the beer bottles that you and Bernstein had, and I'm like, fellas, we're at a work meeting. Why are you drinking? And this is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for both of you. And then John knocked over all your beer bottles.
Yeah,
I think it was Dan's mostly. And they all rolled down the cement staircase
right to the
very front. Who was it Agassi talking or was it Rod talking at the time?
It might have been Rod. I
think Agassi was on his rollerblades. He was skating around the stage.
Yeah, where they gather you with some stupid thing and then talk to you about stupid things. I mean,
that sums it up. It's a corporate job, sir.
That's your corporate job. Thank you.
You're listening to A Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Catch it online at 670thescore.com. Also, stream live video on The Score's Facebook page. MLB Wines, Chicago Cubs Red, and Cubs Sparkling, a new tradition in baseball. Visit MLB.com/wine for details. Coming up, an update from the Craftsman Mobile Update Studio. Our guy Dave Kerner in the house. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Terry's newspaper buddy Mike Downey. The Score's very own Jason Goff. And then we have Judd Surratt. The Score's very own Chris Tannehill. Dan Zampillo, Mike Greenberg, John Shakey Suntris, Jonathan Hood, Jesse Rogers, all in the 4 o'clock hour. Right here on The Score's Toast to Terry. Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
To Terry Bores.
I'm going
to
make it to 25 years, damn it.
On 670 The Score. We've been the voice of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
This scoreboard update is brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. And it's only fitting that this update go in order of the sports that I think Terry loves the most. So first, baseball, with the item that the Cubs are hoping to host a bowl game when all the renovations are completed. Wrigley, they are not in the 2010 format when Illinois and Northwestern had to go toward the same end zone and avoid the one that had the brick wall just inches beyond the back of the other end zone. Oh, and the Cubs are gearing up for their convention next week. The White Sox still hold hopes of trading Jose Quintana in our lifetime. And it's a mere 3 months, give or take a couple of days, when Terry can look forward to watching the West Coast baseball until conclusion at 1 in the morning, because nobody else in this town will. Now to pro basketball, with the Bulls having beaten the Cavs in Cleveland last night. Calls coming out for a banner to be hung on the United Center rafters saying 5-1 against the Cavs in the regular season for the last 2 years. The belief is Gar Forman is on it when no one else is. Now we have football, with the McCaskies still insisting the Bears will never be for sale and that the decision to keep most of the coaching staff is apparently the best thing to do at the time. The training staff, on the other hand, they need to have their heads on swivels. The Bears not real happy about leading the NFL with 19 players on injured reserve. And how I wish I was coming up with a Bears report that would detail just how many times that Gary Croton wants to throw the bubble screen to Marty Booker in the average game. On to hockey. Blackhawks try to extend a 9-game winning streak on Buffalo at the United Center. And it's the U.S. and Canada playing for a World Junior Championship gold medal tonight in Montreal. An American win, and people here will shrug their shoulders. An American loss, and people here will shrug their shoulders. And finally, to something that Terry really does love, he really does, but unfortunately, I could not find a story of anybody participating in a sport not wearing pants. I'm Dave Kerner, and you're listening to our Toast for Terry on 670 The Score, Chicago's very own sports station.
Terry Bohr's Flashback. Flashback.
Because you certainly were sounding like a caller Bob right there when you were trying to go on the conspiracy theory.
You can kiss a sick monkey's wet ass if you don't like it. I'll tell you that right now, John. You St. Louis bitch. You silly St. Louis bastard. First of all, I hate everybody from St. Louis. Everybody. From the oldest to the youngest on down from there. I hate them all, including you.
You're listening to A Toast to Terry. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast to Terry. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. 25 years plus of Chicago's best sports talk. And Terry Bohr's a Score original. I want to thank our good friends over at Real Urban Barbecue for bringing food in today. Carry-out packages are available that are perfect for hosting all the big games. Follow Rub on social media for news and updates on Twitter at Real Urban BBQ. Visit Rub online at realurbanbbq.com. Now back to you, Terry Bohrs.
Thank you, Matt. And at 4:05 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 Square, there aren't many people I can say, very few, that I've known this guy 60 years. We first met, I think, when we were five, back in lovely Steger, and both went on to very similar kind of things where we do that I like. My buddy Mike Downey's on the line from Los Angeles. Hello, Mike. How are you?
God help me, I've known you 6 decades. Oh, my God.
6 decades.
Holy cow. I remember you meeting you in first grade, and teacher gave you an A, and you told her, who you crapping?
Well, I might have if anybody gave me an A. But anyway, I just can't, you know, I wouldn't do the show without talking to you, because somehow we wound up in the same business, and I don't think either one of us ever discussed writing. I didn't. I mean, I had no idea that I could even do it, and you were doing it before, and you would be more open about talking about writing, and you certainly wrote your entire life and still writing a little bit.
We both got our start from a man named Johnny Myers, who meant a lot to us. He was a mentor, if ever there was one, and if he had gone to Chicago or New York or L.A., he would have been as good as the best people we worked with, so that was a start for both of us, and then we kind of crisscrossed our paths. You went to Detroit, and I was in Chicago, and then you came back, and I went up there. You know, I don't know if you were trying to get away from me, or I was stalking you, or what.
No, absolutely not. I've said this before, and it is true that of all the people I've met and people that I've worked for journalistically, you know, most of them didn't offer much advice. I didn't get much at the Sun-Times. I only got a little bit at the Free Press. Some guys, a couple guys that were really good. But there was nobody I ever worked for better than Johnny Myers. And I agree with that. I could have worked at, he could have worked at any damn paper in this country and wrote that column and been a star.
What were the odds there'd be an elderly gentleman in a Chicago suburb who just wanted to be there? He wanted to walk to work every day and take young guys under his wing. And he was not only bright and stylish, he was and witty. He was a smartass.
Mm-hmm.
He told us that. He taught us everything. He was acerbic in his column, writing about Bloom and Rich East and Homewood Flossmoor Sports. It was an amazing experience to read him and to work under his wing.
Yeah, I still to this day I cherish that, and I stayed longer than I had to. I mean, I could have taken another job, but I didn't want to. I mean, I worked 5 years there, and that was the best 5 years of my life in terms of working with somebody that close. Because it took a little bit of time for him to completely trust me, because I was a dope. I mean, I'd been in the business all of like 18 months when he hired me, so I wasn't exactly ready for the big time. But if you work for him, I don't care who you were, if you had any talent, any ability at all, he taught you how to use it.
And he was kind of looking for a successor at some point. He knew he was getting up there. And, you know, you were running the department as much as he was there for a while, after a while. He just trusted you to take it over. And, again, you and I were pretty immature guys early on, and he saw something else there. So, but he played with us like he was our age, too. You know, he was also just one of the guys, and we'd sit in the back of the room and laugh at everybody else.
Yeah, it's funny because there are only certain people in your life that have that effect on you. I mean, if you've got a dozen of them, good for you. But I mean, I've got maybe a handful of people who meant something to me, who said something to me, who did something that I still remember to this day. And above all, it's Johnny. I mean, I I didn't. But I certainly wasn't looking for a father figure. I wasn't looking for that in any way, shape, or form. But it happened so naturally. And you're right. I was. He just would come in and say, "I'm going to write the column, and you do the rest." I said, "Okay."
You know, Terry. I told people I grew up in. I've lived in three towns essentially, Chicago, Detroit, and L.A. And I wound up with my baseball announcers were like Harry Carey, Ernie Harwell, and Vin Scully. I mean, it was almost Mount Rushmore at Jack Brickhouse, maybe. And Johnny Myers, I got to work with him and Jim Murray, and I tell people they were on a par, and they look at me like I'm just landed from arrival in the spaceship, you know. Like, yeah. Who and Jim Murray, you know? Well, I wish Johnny Myers' stuff was on Google. I wish you could find it. We had microfilm once upon a time, but I wish I could find it and show people just how good it was.
Yeah, it really was. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base with you because, like I said, I can't say I know many people 60 years. And I will also be out in probably, what did I say, June? You have a gathering out there of old Chicago writers and writers from just about everywhere. You have a nice little gathering you get together.
Roundtable the other day at the Smokehouse in Burbank, right across from Warner Brothers Studio, and it was myself and Ron Rappaport, formerly the Sun-Times, and John Chulian, also formerly the Sun-Times, but it was also Charlie Steiner, the Dodgers announcer, who went to Bradley, and the journalism school there is named after him, and Ned Colletti, who, like you, went to Northern Illinois, and he strung for Taylor Bell and stuff. It was the general manager of the Dodgers recently, and Tom Dreesen, the comedian who grew up in Harvey and Thornton, and we all lifted a glass to you on your retirement, and we signed we autographed a baseball and sent it to you, so it's going to be waiting for you when you get home.
All right, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you very soon. I hope everything is good with you. You okay?
You're best of your life, and you know, I'm proud to be, you know, your friend all these years. I'm godfather to one of your children. I vacationed with you and Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Just slept at your house on Christmas nights. You're a brother to me, and I just congratulate you on every minute of success you've had.
All right, Mike, I really appreciate that, my friend. I will see you soon.
See you soon.
All right, that's Mike Downey, former columnist of Tribune, Tribune, the Los Angeles Times, Detroit Free Press. I mean, he's been around, and I appreciate that. And speaking of having been around, another boss who's meant an awful lot to me, and I'm not a kid anymore like I was with Johnny. I was 23, I think, when I started at the Star. But Mitch Rosen is sitting next to me, and this I've said this before, and I mean this, that you will never, ever in your life work for a better boss than Mitch Rosen.
Thank you.
And that is the God's truth. I mean, there is, you know, especially this year, for me, was a test of my patience, a test of Mitch's patience. And in no time did he ever crumble on it like I did. So, I mean, I really appreciate that. And I know how much you mean to me, how much you mean to this station. And I wish everybody that worked at this station was as effective and getting things done as fast as you do.
Well, thank you. You know, it's been an honor to work with you, too. And, you know, what I've thought about a lot about today is what you've meant to so many people, the listeners, that you're their friends you've never even met. And the lives that you've affected over 25 years on the radio and all the years in writing. And when I look at today, I think about the listeners. I think about people at home listening on the radio or watching on the video stream. These are people that call you a friend that you've never met and you'll probably never meet. And I think that's what makes our medium special and how special you are. So thank you for 25 great years. It's been an honor to work with you. And when I think about the score, you're the face and the voice of the score for 25 years. You know, Mike was here, Mac, Cher, all, you know, the Mount Rushmore, the score was mm-hmm. here, but you've made it for 25 years, nonstop, you and Hanley. But I look at you and the longevity of the show with Dan, you're the voice and the face of the score. So thank you on behalf of all the listeners for what you do.
Oh, please. That's very kind.
I do have some gifts. You will never be forgotten in the score hallways. We are going to rename our hallways Terry Board's Way outside the main studio. I'll hold this up. This will be put outside our main studio. Hopefully we'll be in this building for a long time, but if we do move again, this will go with us. But you will forever be with us. Terry Board's Way, our hallway, will be renamed. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's one thing.
Very nice. Okay.
Real quick, these are cassettes from day one of Boards and Bernstein, August 16th, 1999, framed cassettes. So put those in your office.
Oh, I will.
And then finally today, he was here earlier, but a state representative Michael Zalewski, and it's too long to read, but he has a resolution at the State of Illinois House of Representatives that will honor Terry Boers in front of the State House. So, you know, I know they can't pass a budget, but they did pass this at Terry Boers Day. So congratulations, Terry, on behalf of the State of Illinois, and thank you for everything you've done, more than anything, our friendship, and I truly love you, and there will always be a microphone or a keyboard here for you when you get bored.
You got it, my friend. And I might just do that at some point. Yeah, I might do that. And our friendship will not end. I promise you that.
All right, I love you.
Love you, too. Mitch Rosen. Again, the best boss I ever worked for. And you should all be so lucky to have somebody like him. Come a little bit closer, would you, big man? Now, this is a guy that we go – he goes all the way back to McNeil and Boers, the heavy fuel crew.
It's crazy.
When he was 11 years old.
Yeah.
I can't even believe he could dial a phone, but he did. It's young Jason from Evans, and Jason Goff is joining us, our midday host on the Score.
I have no idea. Well, first of all, I don't know.
And a new father, by the way.
Yeah, God almighty.
I've been telling you for years I wanted some Jasons.
You got a little Jace now.
You got a little Jace.
From the day that has already happened and us talking about it on the Spiegelman Goff Show before it, I'm reliving my childhood a little bit here. And, you know, I want to thank you for not only the 25 years of being the radio guy that you have been, but, you know, you were special for me as a kid because for all the people who felt like they were outsiders or felt like they weren't normal or felt like they were a little bit different from somebody else at school or didn't have the in crowd to hang out with, for me, you were the guy who always spoke from that authentic and genuine place. And I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, I think there's a reason that you've turned into a hell of a talk show host. It probably has nothing to do with me. I mean, I think it has more to do with you.
If I have half the career that you have had, I will have been blessed. I used to race home every single day to listen to you. My Uncle Wayne, he's like, man, there's a sports station. I know, you know, you're a little nerd. You like to talk about numbers all the time. Go ahead and check out this sports station. And every day when we got out around 3:15, so I'd have to try to run home, try to get myself a little bit of the heavy fuel crew. Half days were a blast because I got a chance to listen to the Monsters with Mike and, mm-hmm. and Dan and see all you guys up here talking about what the station has been. And not only that, but how important you have been. And I will say this, it's 4:15, the true glory and the true presence of this man is he has done the least amount of talking up here and he has been the star the whole time. And that has been the case for 25 years. When Terry said something, it meant something. And Terry was the man that I listened to in the beginning when I was trying to find my voice, not just, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do in my life at 12, 13 years old, but as a young man. And it continued. And there was a time here where at this station as a producer,
I thought, remember those days.
Well, see, and before I got on the Boers and Bernstein show, I thought I was going to be done with this because, you know, there, you know, business is business. I was producing the Jonathan Hood show and a car dealer's son got an opportunity to produce that show. And, you know, it was a tough day and I had to do overnights and 10 to midnight and I thought I was done. And Terry Boers, I'd catch him around every once in a while, score events, score functions, told me never stop, never quit. Next thing I know, Dan Zampillo puts me on that show with you guys, and it was one of the best things that has ever happened to me. And I thank you for allowing an idiot to be a part of your situation. Any, you know, certain hosts, and Matt mentioned this during the Boers and Bernstein final show. Certain hosts worry about what music you're going to play, what cuts you're coming back with. The reason why my time with you guys was so special for me is because you set the tone for do what you want to do. You make the show your show. And you allowed a voice for a person that is, you know, I'm nothing special. And you showed me how special that you were in the moments working with you. Everybody hears you every day. But the people that didn't get a chance to work with you don't realize how special a person and special a man you are. And the family aspect of this, too. You know, we've seen some deaths. We've seen some births. And throughout it all, you have stayed true, my friend. When I went to Atlanta, some dark times. But I got like three people who stayed in touch with me back here in Chicago. And I knew, and my girl who's here right now, when that email came through, and it said your name on it, no matter what kind of night or what kind of day I was having, it always made me feel better. So thank you, not only for radio, but thank you for everything that you have done for me, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I think that, you know, our friendship is another one that's going to last forever. You're not rid of me.
You know that? Now you got you got a little guy to hang out with now, so I can bring Jason. Like, what this station has meant. Like, you're the bedrock, dude. Like, you have done everything that anybody who has ever jumped into this business. And, you know, now I look at the guys who are interns now or young producers now, and I think if I could be half of what Terry was for me to them, then I'm doing something right. You know, I've been around the station now for 16 years. And when I interned in 99 and got hired in 2000, I met my fiance to be my first full-time day. You always treated her with love. Always used to get on me when she wasn't around enough, asking me, where's Nicole?
Tired of you.
Yeah, exactly. You know what it is. You've always pushed me to make the right decisions, but more importantly, you've always told me to trust my instincts. And I appreciate you for that. And everybody in my family, you know, my sister, my mother, my dad, they always ask about you. And they will continue to. And I always let them know that Terry's going to be all right because he's a solid dude. So thank you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Goff, producer for us for a while.
It's a legend right here.
And
man.
A star. This guy is a star at what he does. Don't kid yourself for a
legend
second.
Legend right here. Once again, give it up for Terry Boers, everybody. My man.
A toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag toast to Terry. Our friends Jared and RJ Melman, they brought in food today from Hub 51, located at 51 West Hubbard. Hub 51, eat here, drink here. I also want to thank our buddy David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage for being here today as well. And today's toast to Terry is presented in part by your Chicago Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of America's best warranty. Back to you, Terry.
And at 421, oh boy, here he is. Now, you talk about a bad job being the first producer of the Heavy Fuel crew, Judd Surratt. And back in the days when it wasn't uncommon to have Judd Surratt and Jesse Rogers at each other's throats over guests and everything else. And one of the most intense guys I've ever seen, and I love him, Judd Surratt is here. Hello, Judd.
The Baron, it's so good to see you.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Back in my Baron days. It was so crazy back then. And what do you recall about the early days of this station?
Oh, it was the Wild West because all sports radio was new. It was new, I think, to a lot of the sports teams. Putting together shows was completely new. But I tell you what, the best part of my day, and we had laughs, like the laughs that we're having this entire time, this was like a regular day at the Score, but maybe my favorite 15 or 20 minutes every day. I'd call McNeil in the morning, and then I'd get, you know, what guests are we going to have on, you know, which direction you want to go, and then you and I would shoot the breeze, and I think maybe we would talk about the show for about a minute. And then you would start telling some stories about, yeah, I remember being in Toronto having to write the gamer because Joe Goddard was off doing something. Or, hey, I remember seeing Bernard King coming out after a Knicks game. You should have seen what he was wearing. But there were so many stories, and there was so much fun during that 20 minutes, and then maybe at the end I'd ask him, you know, who do you want on the show? I don't care. What does that little weasel want?
Well, yeah, that's correct, though.
Terry really didn't ask for a whole lot then. But, you know, I think with McNeil and Boers and with the Heavy Fuel crew at the time, we were very guest-heavy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Score has kind of changed. And every show is a little bit different, but we had some phenomenal guests. We had some phenomenal times. But I do remember that the guy that we're talking about today is maybe one of the most interesting men I have ever met, without question. I remember coming out, I was out at a Bulls game, and I'm sitting, this is at the old Chicago Stadium, and Bill Gleason, who was drinking a beer in a sock. You remember that?
Very well.
He came up to me, and he said, why don't you ask Boers if he was ever a professional wrestler? I'm like, excuse me? Just ask him. So the next day, I'm on the phone. We're shooting the breeze about the show. And I said at the end, hey, can I ask you, were you ever a pro wrestler? Who told you that? I said, were you ever a pro wrestler? Long silence. Yes. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
What was the story?
Well, a friend of mine was into it heavy. And everybody was frightened of him in high school, too. He was 6'6", 280. And he got into it, and we would go down to Chicago and trained with Bob Saber. If you recall, he was the fifth Beatle at that time. And so we would do the training on get thrown around and learn how to fall and learn how to do all this other stuff. And then we would go and listen to music, go to the, you know, some underground playground or whatever it was, and spend the rest of the night there. And I was like 16 or 17. It was the craziest damn thing. And I just, you know what I did, Judd? I just got tired of being thrown around. It just wasn't fun. And like climbing ropes and doing all those other, it just wasn't that much fun. I found it, so I managed him. I became his manager. And we would travel around, and it was a stitch. You know, I was just a kid, and that's why my grades were so bad. Everything was bad. But I didn't have a car, so I drove with him. He drove me everywhere. I couldn't afford a car at that point. Barely making it through junior college because I wasn't there. I mean, we would get stranded in Beloit because somebody put sugar in the gas tank. He got accused of kicking a pregnant woman, which he didn't do. Didn't come close to her. And that caused us. And so we got, I don't know, 15 miles out of Beloit, and the car stopped.
But I remember another story. About a week or two later, Bulls are back from a homestand. I'm down at the stadium. Sure enough, Bill's with his sock, drinking a beer. Why don't you ask Boris if he was ever a race car driver? I'm like, what? Just ask him. So I call him up in the morning. We're just kind of shooting the breeze about the show. What does little weasel want? So I asked at the end, were you ever a race car driver? Who told you that? Long silence. Were you ever a race car driver? Yes. What was the story?
Well, same thing. I had a friend of mine who had a car, and I would race it occasionally at Ileana, and a couple times at Raceway Park, not for very long. And I loved it, but it was too expensive. I mean, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I made sure that I was at every media race. Every damn media race, I was there. You invite me, remember Santa Fe? Only one speedway has a track of clay. I was out there. Didn't win there. Won at Raceway, though. The clay didn't agree with me. But, yeah, I love driving. It and I drag race, too. We used to go to Route 30 and blow up a car here or there. But I was like the, it was an interesting time. I was an idiot. I mean, I just a complete idiot with no direction in life.
But I think for me, the fun that I was having on the phone for 15, 20 minutes talking to you, and then he would come in the halls because Boers would come in later than everybody else. Like McNeil would come in and he'd start grinding away like around 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock. Then it got a little bit later. Want to hear how I'm golfing? No. Why not? Then he'd swear at me on the phone. And then he'd bring in, or he'd go fishing, and he'd bring in a big cooler. Yep. Smell like he was on a boat for about 10 hours.
Yes, he
Look
did.
At what I caught!
And I can't get rid of him because he's sitting right there. I can't get rid of it.
Well, right, yeah. And the whole place smells like a big fishing boat.
Yep.
But, you know, he'd walk in like maybe an hour before the broadcast, and he'd just start tearing everybody apart. It was so funny. He'd see George. Hey, it's Chief Lousy's shirt. Hey, it's Henry Henderson. Hey, he's awake. What's in Abby's drawers? Ron, what are you doing? Hey, it's Tom Sharon's secretariat.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would get in every day. But, you know, I as we let you go, I just want to say that, you know, the producers I had over the years, I thank every one of them. I certainly thank Judd Surratt. But this guy was the most intense guy I've ever seen. I mean, he would fight over, he would go to war with whoever it was over this show. And I really appreciated that. And I thought, well, he's crazy, but I like him. I love him. And I learned to.
Well, I got to say, I love you. And when I got a call from Matt about a call, I'm like, that's my guy. That's my favorite guy. And you have been my favorite. Listen, I loved all the hosts, North and Jiggets and McNeil and everybody who's worked there. And I'm very proud to be a SCORE alum. And for everybody who is a part of it now, 25 years later, I am so proud to see the success that this station has had. I remember talking to a broadcast exec at the time at one of the top stations in the city, and that exec said, all sports, sunrise to sunset, not a chance. I can tell you that where this station is and the heights that it's reached is just incredible. And that exec, I don't think, is in the business anymore. So for all of you who are a part of it, I am proud of you, and I am proud to be a part of it. You guys are terrific. But for this guy, the absolute best. You brought so much fun to the airwaves from day one to where we are now, 25 years later, and it's the laughs and the stories that I will never forget. You guys always had my back, you and Danny, and we had great management with Seth and Ron, who's here, great ownership in Danny Lee, and they were three of the best years of my life, and I want to thank you.
Yeah, well, I thank you for everything you did, and you were Mr. Intense, and I loved you. I still love you.
I wanted that you know, depending on what time of year it was the I wanted to make it the best two and a half hour show.
Yeah, whatever show it was
that we possibly could. And I remember when the station really came on the map. John Moon Mullen, who was up here, was talking about it when Mike Ditka basically he canceled his normal Monday press conference. So the only way to get Ditka quotes was to listen to the Ditka show. And you were one of those hosts, and you made that come alive. I remember Seth talking, is there any way we can make some of the calls less confrontational? I'm like, good luck.
I remember.
And then Neil from Northlake would come on, and then Seth would wander in my office. Didn't we have a conversation about this? I'm like, sorry about that. But that's what really put the station on the map. I remember having a cut tape after every show because every station was running those Ditka shows, 2, 5, 7, 9, Fox, CLTV, etc. Everybody was running that. That was the only way to get Ditka. And you were the guys who put it on the map.
I thank you for that, Judd, and it's great to see you. And I like I say, I appreciate everybody who's worked hard on this show. And you were one of those guys, my friend. There's no doubt about it. I know how hard you worked.
You're the best. I love you.
Love you too.
You're listening to Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast to Terry. Great wines that cover all the bases. Pick up a bottle of Chicago Cubs Red or Cubs Sparkling at your local retailer or visit MLB.com/wine for details. Terry.
And sitting next to me right now is the other generation of producers and the best sound man you can have, best sound man in the business, Chris Tannehill.
Hey, how we doing? How we doing, Terry?
How we doing today?
Thanks for having me up here, Terry. I appreciate it. I feel like I've been waiting 83 hours to be up here today.
It's been a long, I agree.
83. Thank you. Better late than never. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Sleeping back there on the for the love of God.
Just to be here today, I can't believe you having fun today. First of all, you having a good time today.
Yeah. Good.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, it's good
Thank
to
you
see
everyone
everybody.
For being here today. All the listeners out there, people tweeting, texting, all that good stuff. I remember, my first memories of the score, you and McNeil, and I was trying to find the clip to play today, but I couldn't. But we can talk about it. The Eric Kramer interview. That's a classic score moment. Anyone who doesn't remember that, they were questioning. I think Mac was questioning his sideline demeanor. How ironic, that's become a
smiling,
topic with our current quarterback or former quarterback, whatever. Smiling on the sideline after they were getting their ass whooped. I forgot by whom. And
could have been anybody.
And then you chimed in, and Eric Kramer goes, "Yeah, who's this?" Right? Is that how it went?
That's what he did.
I mean, it's just that type of like irreverence for sports was something at that time that no one in Chicago had really ever heard. So that's what got me as a fan from day one. So I just want to thank you guys for all those years. And then transitioning as a fan and listening to you and Dan, and I'm in high school listening in between periods and on winter breaks and stuff like that, all the way up to the 05 White Sox run where your radio partner said they would never win a World Series without with Juan Uribe as their shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't look at him in the eye for that comment today, but
don't.
That's how it goes. Yeah. But above all, just I appreciate the most is the opportunity to be able to create for you and Dan every day. And you truly, like Jason touched on it earlier, just letting a producer produce, letting me do whatever I want to do on that particular day. And sometimes, you reach for something, it doesn't quite work, but then sometimes it really hits and we have fun. I think above all, that's the best part of it. Just at the end of the day, it's just radio. It's just sports talk radio for one. Let's not take it too seriously. I always appreciated your mentality as far as that goes. And, it's been a great run, man.
I agree. And I thank you for your contributions. I'm telling you, when it comes to doing sound, this guy is the very best, and we've had a lot of him over the years, but he is the absolute best. And I appreciate what you've done. I think that sometimes it gets overlooked when you do one of these shows that it's just the guys you hear all day long. But there's a lot of work for a lot of people who goes into this, producing a show. We've had several over the years. And Chris Tannehill is one of the very best. And look who's on the line here. You know this guy?
This is not quite yet, but I just wanted to say, Terry's the kind of guy. I'm 33 years old, and a couple years back, we had a day game. White Sox were playing, and I'm checking my email, and Terry sends me an email saying happy birthday. They said, happy birthday, buddy. I appreciate everything you do for the show. And for something like that, when you're getting your 30s, no one cares about your birthday. But Terry had enough, sense to take a few moments out and just say that to me. And, just simple gestures like that are what make this man the man he is. And I really appreciate that. And seeing your great children here who I've come to know, and you know your grandchildren. It's just you're just such a great role model, just as a man, as a father. I'm a new father. You know, you're one of the men that I look up to, my own father. Just, you know, how to be a gentleman and a man, and I just really appreciate you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you and everything you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Chris Tannehill,
I know we've got other guests. Yeah. Let me get out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we welcome in another guy who now he's in LA the last time we talked. But he used to, this is a guy that actually grew up like two blocks from us. Dan Zampillo was on the phone, another Borson Bernstein producer. Hello, Dan Zampillo.
Terry, I'm very weepy. I've just been watching you on the video stream, weeping away for the last 3 hours.
So, yeah, it's a tough go, yeah.
Very, very weepy. How are you, Terry?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. You know, I obviously, you know, it's exciting that they're doing that. This is happening, but it's also very sad because, you know, you're my guy. You're my radio pappy. Who said it earlier? You're like a radio pappy to many generations. Now I'm not a young generation. I'm an old bastard now, but it used to be young. But it's sad to see my radio pappy go.
Well, I think, you know, because, you know, Bones didn't catch it. He grew up two blocks from where we were in Mokena, and he was always there to get a ride. I know that. Is that right, Joe? Is that right? He was there to get a ride? Yeah. Dan Zampillo was always there to get a ride. Had no idea he had any interest in radio, because at that time, I don't remember if I was or not, but it was early on high school years, but I didn't know even at the time you had any interest in being a producer or radio in any way, shape, or form. So it was pleasant to find and here you were. And
yeah,
now
it's funny. The story how this my career started is, you know, I got an interview with Mike Alzamora for an internship at the Score, and I didn't tell him that I knew you or lived in Mokena or anything like that. And I walked in and he said, "You live in Mokena?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, I went to Terry Bohr's. He said to hire you for your show." And I go, "Okay." And that was the easiest interview I've ever had. So then I just became the intern and drove around and got tacos for you and McNeil for, you know, 3 or 6 months or whatever it is.
Yeah, well,
you know, that was it.
Yeah, well, it was fun, though.
Oh, I had a blast. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, that was back in the day when McNeil was like 8 to 10 tacos for him and a couple for you. I mean, I know maybe now it's a little bit different, but yeah, every day I used to get free lunch for you guys, and now I actually learned a lot. It was awesome. I had so much fun, and you know, one of the things I was thinking about, Terry, you know, with you retiring, I prepared 10 things that I predict you will do in retirement.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
That I think Terry will do in retirement. So number 10, I think you're going to start a baseball podcast with your favorite Cubs manager, Jim Essien, your guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love him.
Number 9, sit naked on the beach and listen to old tapes of your two favorite Score shows, Murph and Fred in the Morning and the Dick Duran Show.
Thanks, yeah.
Number 8. Do a feature on Mike North's new podcast called Terry's Night on the Town, where you chronicle all the Mokena hotspots. That's right up your alley.
No, that's right. That's there for me.
Number 7, you'll finally mail that invoice to my mother for running over your mailbox when we were neighbors.
Oh. Well, number that might happen.
I'm sure she's waiting for it. Number 6, you'll start a Twitter account, @ByCracky, where you share your daily wisdom, followed by Cracky. Number 5, write a cookbook with different recipes for your world-famous penis bread.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was a good one. Yeah. Number 4, move to Mexico and start a sports radio show under the name As Weepe Bores. Number 3, pen a tell-all book about your longtime partner Dan Bernstein entitled Godless Bastard.
Well, he's here. Yeah.
Right.
He's here.
Number 2, start a YouTube channel in which you share your thoughts on America called Larry Horse Speaks. And the number 1 thing I predict you'll do in retirement, Terry, is enter the Radio Hall of Fame, because there's no one who's done more for sports radio in Chicago than you have. You're going to be missed. I personally owe you a huge debt of gratitude for everything you've done for me to start my career and grow my career. And I know I wouldn't have any career in this business without you. I'm certain of that. So I'm really, really going to miss you, and I love you, and I hope that you go on to do a lot of fun things. And most importantly, probably my biggest piece of advice in retirement is just like, don't listen to the radio and Bernstein anymore. I think you'll be a lot healthier. If you just don't do that, I think you'll be in good shape right there. But I'm going to miss you, Terry, a lot. And congratulations to you and everything that you've accomplished in these 25 years.
All right, Dan, thanks so much. And I'm glad that your life is good and success. He's a big success. Dan Zimpillo, one of our producers from way back when. We thank him. And at 4:39, we go to the phone lines. Another guy that I remember doing shows from Taste of Chicago, sitting next to now a guy who's a major star. I mean, you talk about a major star, you talk about Mike Greenberg. But I remember the days when just sitting at Taste of Chicago and him just ogling everything. He was just very funny. Hello, Mike Greenberg.
Terry Boers, what a pleasure it is for me to hear your voice and to get a chance to say hello again. And what an honor it is for me to be asked to be a part of this. I can't believe that it was 25 years ago that I was sitting in a meeting, and I was just a kid. I was a 24-year-old guy who had been hired to be a producer, and there was Terry Boers, the columnist from the Chicago Sun-Times, and we were going to start this radio station, and they showed me a wheel of what the hour was going to look like, and you were in the meeting, and they said at the end of the segment they'll do a bumper or tease, and you said bumper or tease. He was a bantamweight back in the 1950s, and I thought, my God, this is the funniest person I've ever been in the same room with in my entire life, and you continued to be that for all of the years that I was there, that I had the honor of working on your show, of producing for you and Dan McNeil. And it went a very long way towards any of the things that I've been able to do since. So thank you for letting me be a part of this today. I'm honored to be a part of it.
Well, and congratulations to you on your career. I'm moving on up again. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for, you know, I really love it when guys that I've worked with and liked and enjoyed their company succeed at life. And, Mike, I mean, you're right at the top of that list. You have really done it. And not that everybody didn't know it. I mean, I think in this business, like a lot of other things, you could recognize it. And I recognized it in you right away. When we would co-host, you were just, you know, bubbling with everything that needed to be done. And there was no doubt in my mind that someday you were going to be a star, and that you are, my friend.
Thank you very much. I learned a lot of what I do. And I've said this many times, that whatever it is that my partner now, Mike Golic, and I have done over all these years, much of the fundamentals of it started with the Heavy Fuel Crew. That's how I learned to do sports talk, and the way Dan and you did the show. If you really listen to what we do now and you go back and listen to tapes of what you guys were doing 20 years ago, there's no question I took what I learned from you guys, and that's how we put together what we do now. I know that you've had a long and really terrific run with Dan Bernstein, but I've been gone so long that in my mind, it will always be frozen in my mind, you and Danny and the Heavy Fuel Crew and all the fun that we had back then and all the people that we made mad. And then we sent me out into the field, and I had to deal with all the players that you guys had made angry. And that was always sort of a treat. Between you and North, I had practically no players on any team in Chicago who would speak to me if my mic flag said that I worked for the Score. But there were a lot of really fun times, and I'm thrilled that things have gone so well. I'm thrilled that you are doing well. And again, I'm thrilled to be able to be a part of this celebration.
And I'm thrilled, my friend, you took the time to do it. And congratulations on what is starting a terrific career for you. And I'm not a bit surprised. So you take care of yourself.
All right, Terry. Thanks so much. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you. Mike Greenberg, ESPN, a major star. And at 4:43, also one of our producers who did just have to suffer that idea. And right next to me now is a guy we nicknamed Shaky. John Suntress has joined us. Hello, John Suntress.
Hi, buddy.
Shaky, how are you?
How you been, buddy? Oh, my God. It's great to see you, man.
Great to see you. I saw him a while back, but I was running to get a train, so I was like, "Hey, all right, how you doing? I gotta go. I gotta get
even,
a cab."
Even 15 seconds was fantastic, man.
No,
it's great
I did. I'm glad to see you because we could actually sit down. Because I figured, well, he's one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite producers.
Likewise, man. Oh, my God. You know, honestly, I got to follow Greeny and Matt McLaughlin, who was, I think, in between Greeny and myself in terms of being the sound man for the show. And a lot of our other people have already said it. We broke ground. I mean, really. I mean, I think we – I mean, sports radio was really brand new. And we got to do a lot of things that were unconventional for sports talk at the time. And it's because – the bosses let us do it, Ron, Seth, Danny, and everything. You guys let me play like a nut. I mean, and honestly, oh, yeah. It even started back before I was even on the Daily Show on the weekends when you were on the Young Sports Writers.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, in fact, before pre-score, Terry used to be on the GN Sports Writers back in the day.
Did.
Ben Bentley, and he would moderate, and there's Terry Bors and Tony Gianetti. And you'd go, yeah, thanks for the extra vowel there in his name. It must be Christmas, Ben.
Yeah, he, Ben... Ben would was never happy because he would do a segment. It could be the middle of December, and he'd sit down, and he was sitting there, and we'd take a break, and he'd say, when are we going to get to the Cubs? And I'd say, Ben, it's December, and the Cubs suck. I mean, we relax, man. I mean, no. Well, we got to get to the Cubs. It's part of our deal here. I'm thinking, oh, my God. But the sports writers on radio, yeah, with Van Dyke.
Exactly.
Van Dyke, yep.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing. Like, that's when we really started nicknaming all the guys and stuff. And I would listen to Van Dyke and Terry, and I loved hearing those guys. And when Van Dyke would come in for the Young Sports Writers, I'm like, oh, my God, it's the Velvet Fog. And that's when we started calling him the Velvet Fog and everything.
He really did. But you were one of the guys that had fun. I mean, no matter what happened, I hate it when people aren't having fun doing this, because there's not a lot of money, and people don't understand that, you know, producing a radio show sounds great. Sounds terrific, doesn't it? But yeah. Boy, the facts are not quite matching up to that.
Well, again, because we decided to do something unconventional, and you know, you guys started doing the open with Greeny, and I think really we started really doing it a little bit further, making sure the music fit the subject and things like that. But on the Young Sports Writers, that's really where a lot of my voices started coming through. Mike Tyson suddenly appeared.
Yes,
thank
he did.
God. And you know, listen, hey, retirement isn't bad. As long as your taxes are good, retirement is not a bad thing. I just want to explain that to you. And by the way, I'm really sorry Murph couldn't be here today. So I figured I might want to just remind us of a few great times with Mike Murphy. Say hello, everybody, to Terry Bors, joining us for a short time. So, and Sid Crunchnick, of course, you know. And, you know, Terry was on my TV show back in the 50s on WEBN. It was Uncle Sticky Pants, and he was one of the kids in the gallery. And it was always a treat having him on my lap. So that's just nice.
This is what this guy did during the entire show, by the way. He's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, not only on the air, but off the air.
Off the air, everywhere he would do this. So I'm like, oh, my God. And Doug Buffone, the late, great Doug Buffone. God, I love Doug. Nicknamed him the Boxing Chooch.
That's very true.
And
both my nicknames came because of shows that you were hosting. But, yeah, go ahead and tell the story about Bors. Do you remember what he said?
I don't remember exactly. I know you became the Boxing Chooch, and I loved it so much. That's all I think of.
Well, you know, that was my staple because I used to write for Burt Sugar, yep. Ring Magazine and Boxing Illustrated.
Great Burt Sugar, yeah.
I called a fight wrong. And, I mean, these guys were great. They would put me on to talk boxing really from day one of the score and everything. If not the first day, certainly the first week I was on talking boxing with you guys. And, yeah, I forget what fight it was, but I got the wrong guy. And, you know, Doug's like, oh, no, Johnny got it right. He's like, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. And he's like, what the hell's the matter with you, Chooch? And you're like, hey, from now on, you're the Boxing Chooch. That and then when the Sox were playing the Blue Jays, we were doing a simulcast with The Fan in Toronto. And there was some guy, I can't even remember his name, but he was a real radio guy. And, you know, it was great to talk to you guys about the matchup. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, our old guy Shaky here, he had a few thoughts on the game. We're like, who the hell is Shaky? And it was you and Ledewski. Paul Ledewski was the co-host that day.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
Like, what is going on? And finally, you're like, I got to ask you, well, who's this Shaky? Oh, that's Jim Hunt. He's our co-host. We call him Shaky. It's a long-time nickname. You're like, all right, from now on, such as you're always trembling over there on the board, from now on, you're Shaky. And it's true, because I had Dan was a master sergeant. Surratt was a master sergeant, but Bors and I got to have fun, and we really just laid back and
really
had a great time.
And I appreciate that, and I thank you for everything you did for the show. And, I mean, all the voices and everything were terrific. And, look, we ate it up. We ate
absolutely.
It up, my friend.
You know, honestly, I'm amazed at this giant room real fast. I got one quick story because, really, and I'm sure everyone's talked about over on Belmont, you know, we really were in a bomb shelter, and it was ridiculous. And George would do his updates from this little news booth that wasn't much bigger than a phone booth. I would have to make the opens in there in between updates. And a lot of times the monsters would be talking and they wouldn't, of course, get right at the top of the hour. So it was driving us nuts. And I would be getting into arguments in the hallway with Dan. Jiggets is here. And I'm like, hey, man, you got to stop doing that. Well, you don't tell me how to do my show. Finally, Harvey Wells comes out and yells at us in the hallway. He says, hey, you want to keep it down? Some of us are trying to get work done. And Jenkins goes, well, how do you expect us to work, Harvey? Look at us. Look at us nose to nose. We're rats in a cage, Harvey. We're rats in a cage. For the rest of the day, anytime Harvey would come out of his office, we'd be like, we're rats in a cage, Harvey.
John Zuntress, ladies and gentlemen, still the same nut he was back then.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Shaky.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike Tone. And we go to the phones with another guy who sat in the same chair that Shaky sat in for a while, and my buddy Jonathan Hood has joined us. Hello, John Hood. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Terry. Terry, this is a great day because for someone that's been unselfish for so many years and it helps so many other people, this is your day. This is not a sad day for me. It's a celebration of someone that helped me and helped so many others in this business. So I congratulate you. I'm not sad. I'm happy. I'm actually really happy for you because this is the way you want to go out, and I'm very happy for you today.
I appreciate that. And you know, you also very entertaining. There's something about producing, or you know, the Boers and McNeil or whatever. There's something about it that was just, you know, we always had a guy over there that could just entertain people, and Jonathan Hood could do that with the best of them. Unbelievable.
Well, I think one of the reasons why we could tell the story, because in 1999, when the shows changed, Terry, yep. we didn't know what our roles were going to be. We've never worked with – I worked with Dan Bernstein at night, 6 to 10. And, of course, every time that he would host, right before he'd host, he'd put a can of Foster's in the refrigerator. I don't know why he always – he loved Foster's beer for whatever reason, but he put a can of Foster's in the fridge for every show. I think it was a good luck charm. And so we went from the night show, and we teamed with you and Fishman. And so it was 8 to noon, and I tell you, yep. At the beginning, it was rocky because we didn't know what to expect. And I just thought that from my standpoint, because we were so tight and not really sure exactly what was expected of us in that 8 to noon slot, it was time to have a little fun. And sometimes the characters would come out because it was time to just be a little bit looser, a little bit nutty. I mean, we were a mid-morning show, so I just thought at times bringing my Uncle Walt in, who ended up being Jivin' Hal McCray.
Mm-hmm. I loved him.
Well, he was my Uncle him. Walt. That was his voice. Like, hey, how you doing, baby? and Tim going off. We just need to do that because we need to be loose, Terry. And I think that just as Chris Tannehill and so many others said, you allowed us to be able to be ourselves and to be able to help the show in any way that we could. So for me, producing you and Dan at the beginning, I appreciate it because you let us do what you want to do, and it was successful.
Sure was, my friend, and I just wanted to touch base with you to thank you very much for your contribution to the show as so many other guys, but you're certainly one of the most talented guys we ever had sitting there, and I appreciate everything you did.
It's a great day for you, Terry. It's not a sad day. It's a great day. You deserve this. All the people that are here because of you. And I always thank you for giving me advice to be able to have conversations with, and just being a decent human being in a business that is just infested with people that are not necessarily the best people, people that are paranoid. I could talk to you on a human level. I thank you for just being able to just lend an ear and be able to talk to me when I need something. So I appreciate that over years. Thank you so much for that.
All right, my friend. Thank you. That's Jonathan Hood. Terrific guy and a terrific producer. We need to take a break, Maddie. No? Okay, he's right here. Speaking of producers, now, he never really, but he was one of those guys that when you had Judd Surratt and Jesse Rogers going at it out in the hallway over guests, it was just quite a thing. Jesse Rogers has joined us. Hello, Jesse.
Terry, great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. You know, 25 years ago, I had a full head of hair. I mean, a beautiful full head of hair. But you try working for Mike Murphy, Mike Murphy, Mike North, and Dan McNeil. You will lose your hair fast. And I did produce some of your shows here and there, and Murph the first 6 months until I settled in with the Monsters, North and Jiggets, which was just crazy, crazy. But you were always good to me because I was fighting Judd, I was fighting North at times, I was fighting McNeil. I mean, these guys were nuts. I mean, off their rocker nuts. And you were always the sort of calming influence for us back then. But my favorite times were certainly, and Jiggs mentioned it, were transition. That's when I think, I mean, Ditka put us on the map, but I think
he did
that the idea of transition, I don't know what, you know, maybe Judy and Kathy would hand it off to the next show and be like, okay, coming up next day, we're going to show you, you know, directions to Buckingham Fountain. That would be the handoff to the next show, right? I don't think stations spend 25 minutes transitioning from one show to the next and beating each other up the whole time. It wasn't like just what's coming up next. It was, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I think what happened was you and McNeil would be driving in, and North and Jiggets would either do some outlandish interview or North would say something outlandish himself.
Oh, yeah.
And you would take him to task. And then he would fire back. And then, you know, sometimes it was the shows versus each other. Sometimes three on one, one on three. My favorite's when it was all four against Cher. When he was out of the building and you just piled on Tommy and he couldn't defend himself. But, I mean, those days were incredible. And Judd said it right. I was talking to – do people know this, the comedian Sebastian Maniscalco? Do you guys know? Yes. He's a pretty big comedian. All right. He was a listener back in the day. You know, struggling comedian. He odd jobs. I saw him at the World Series. Gotten to know him a little bit. And I think I told him this. It's the 25th anniversary of the score, even though I'm over at the other station now. And he said, man, I loved you guys. What was it like back then? And Judd stole my line. It was the wild, wild west. Every story you've heard today, not exaggerated, not one bit of it. In fact, some of them have been downplayed because we can't tell the whole story.
You can't tell the whole story.
No. All the fights in the hallways and everything else. But there was a lot of love, and you said it right. There's always going to be a connection because we were there at the beginning, and the 0.00 was complete BS. Every phone line was lit up from the beginning of the morning to the end of the night. You can't tell me there's listeners? Well, there were at least five listeners, because they were on hold all day long. And to argue with us, to agree with us, to whatever. And the difference you made in McNeil and North and Jiggets and people's lives, I cannot tell you even to this day. And we've all moved on, like Greenberg, and I'm doing other stuff. To this day, UPS drivers, mailmen, stockbrokers, whatever it is, people that just, you know, drove every downtown to work every day, people that were in customer service like UPS people, you guys made a difference in their lives. You really, really did. I still hear about it, because how boring are most people at their jobs, right? All day long in their car or whatever they're doing. And
it's true.
You made such a difference, and it's incredible that you did it for 25 years.
Jesse, I thank you so much. And it's also nice to see you succeeding in your career. It's nice to see. Wait a minute. Here's Jesse Rogers with the Cubs. What?
Yeah.
Jesse Rogers with the Cubs.
I got lucky. And you know what? I got lucky day one. A quick story. McNeil and Cher interviewed me, okay, to get hired. Real quick, Matt. Cher, I interview with. He's eating a sandwich and shaving, I'm sure of it, with his electric razor. McNeil interviews me because he looks at my resume. I kid you not. This is how I got my start. Looks at my resume and sees Jesse Rogers went to Northern Illinois from Northbrook. He thinks I'm Hispanic, and he has to interview. He sees, what are you doing? I'm a Jewish kid from Northbrook. He thinks I'm Hispanic, but because I went to Northern Illinois University and in a lot of Naperville and whatever, people went out there. And I'm like, no, Dan, I'm a Jewish kid from Northbrook. He goes, well, all right, well, what do you? And that's my start with Cher and McNeil, back-to-back interviews. Tommy eating and shaving, and McNeil thinks I'm somebody else. But I started producing every other Sunday morning. And what do I get to do now? Because of all that, I cover the Cubs in the World Series and the Blackhawks.
Nice job, too.
But and your encouragement, and North and Jiggets and McNeil, I would not be what I'm doing, and a lot of us would not be doing what they're doing without your encouragement.
Well,
so thank you, Terry.
Very talented guy, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the kind words. Your history is great. That's so funny. Some of that stuff I forgot about. Some of that you just don't want to even think about.
I know. I know. Trust me. Oh, God. I was in a prison cell with Mike North. I don't want to remember that, but it's always going to be there. Terry, you're the best. Congrats. We'll always have that connection 25 years ago, and I love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you, pal.
Jesse Rogers.
You're listening to A Toast to Terry right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Catch it online at 670thescore.com and stream live video at The Score's Facebook page. Follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast2Terry. Coming up, an update from the Craftsman Mobile Studio with our guy. And he's my voice of the Cubs. It's Mark Grody. Also going to have Dan Bernstein, Matt Fishman, a producer of the Boys and Bernstein Show, and also the Score's very own Lawrence Holmes in the 5 o'clock hour right here on A Toast2Terry on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
to Terry Bores.
Hey, buddy.
On 670 The Score.
CBS Sunday. This season of Elementary has everybody talking.
I fascinate. This cannot be helped.
Critics call it impressive.
No murder should go unsolved.
Magnetic and fascinating.
He's out with some friends.
Since when does he have friends?
Inventive.
Is anything you're doing legal?
Define legal.
Never underestimate Sherlock Holmes.
Are you trying to clear his name?
If by you, you mean we, then yeah.
Elementary, CBS Sunday, or stream it live or on demand.
The storks are bringing me a baby brother. We can do this together.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.